What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Bob Shop Talk. The guys are here, coming off another victory Saturday. Probably the most complete victory we've seen in a while, at least. Maybe since like USF, something like that. I think, you know, overall, better feeling coming off of this game. But we're going to get into it, get into that one a little bit. We're going to look forward to Virginia Tech. Just got to commit right as we started recording as well, a flip. So we'll briefly touch on that. And something else just popped in my head we'll talk about as soon as we get the introductions out of the way, man. I want to get the temperature with the gang and see how they feel on some of this jargon going on around there in the sports football world. So anyways, everybody's here tonight, man. We're going to kick it. We're going to lock in. And talk a little Canes football real quick. Introductions. Well, let me present, not introduce. my main man, the pessimist of all pessimists.
Mr. Pessimist.
Keeping it real.
Hey, that's all I ever try to do, man.
It ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it, brother. Y'all give it up for my guy, man. Turnpike Music, man. Say what's up to the people, Music.
Please say the Turnpike, man. What it do, everybody, man? 26 degrees coming off a great fashion victory on Saturday. Larry hit it all on the head, man. Most complete game since USF, man. But another night, man. We're going to kick it, hang out for a little bit, man. Get y'all some scoop, review the game, and do what we do, man. We got the real Fear General X in the building. What it do?
Yo, yo, yo. What's good? We back, man. Hey, yeah, that game, man, that was one for the ages, man. I gotta applaud the staff and the players, man. They went out, took care of business from jump. Yeah, they look focused. I guess, you know, it's a lot of talk that hey, you can't keep having the most talent and you keep falling short. So they trying to fight, you know what I'm saying? We're still fighting for something, man. Hopefully we get some good news tonight. If not, then, you know, we still just got to play the season, man. But, yeah, good game. It is what it is, man. And we got the chef. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all, listen, everybody, everybody talk about they cooking tonight and doing this, man. I jumped up and started cooking, too. I like, let me cook something, too. These niggas out here trying to outside. Yeah. Lariana made some beef ribs yesterday, and D-Rob made some prime ribs.
Prime ribs, yep.
Meezy out here ordering $500 lobsters.
Yeah.
No.
We know who getting to the money.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Can't hide it. You part of them gambling scandals.
Yes, sir.
I wish, goddamn.
I know,
I'll
right?
I'll be up right
don't
now.
Get me. Up. Hey, I'm gonna come back home and lay on the millions when I get back. What up, D-Rob here, D-Rob?
Man, what's going on, man? A beautiful win. You know what I'm saying? It was our most complete win, I think, in all phases of the game. Everything was clicking. Everybody did their thing. We proved that this is probably the most depth we've had in the crystal ball era as far as a team, because we're missing quite a bit of starters and some key guys, and other guys stepped up, man. They did their thing. We wasn't worried about, oh, man, like Scott is out, Frederick. If this would have happened last year, oh my gosh. Like, I can imagine the damage that would have been done. You know what I'm saying? We would have had walk-ons probably out there trying to, you know what I'm saying, do some things. But, you know,
shout
hey,
out
man.
Miles Bouillon, man. Shout
out to Miles Bouillon. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all realize, but I don't know if y'all realize, but you know what I'm saying? The timeline been kind of quiet lately. You know what I'm saying? Usually at the after certain games, you know, certain fans, they, you know, they'd be loud.
Because they thought we was going to keep losing in November. Remember they said we don't win in November. So they thought we was going to keep losing. They didn't think we were going to beat that team like that. And you right, D-Rod. We had Fletcher out. Lyle still dinged up. I don't even know why they even let him dress. CJ Daniels is out. Tony Johnson is out.
A lot of guys, man. You
got like three guys out on D-line. Secondary, we lost probably one of the best or not the best defensive back in Keontae Scott. OJ Frederick is out.
And we ain't skip a beat. We ain't skip a beat.
Nope. And, you know, I don't know the extent of the injuries. Obviously, you know, Mario pretty tight-lipped about all that stuff. But I honestly feel like and there's a lot of confidence in the depth in this roster, kind of like D-Rod spoke to, wherein is I think some of these guys could go if they absolutely had to go. But they just feel like, we got the bullets in the chamber. We cool. Go ahead and rest up because we're trying to still make a run.
Right.
And these particular opponents, you know, much respect, always do, you know, I'm always kind of champion for the ACC in the sense that I always say I hate it because it's hampering us because of the image, but I know it's better football being played in the ACC than they like to give it credit for. So even if you're looking at an NC State team that's, they're down a little, man, you got to keep your guard up. They just beat Georgia Tech, who we wasn't crazy about on this podcast in general. But they got some talent as well, and they've been winning football games, right?
And they average 32 points per game, 32.5 points per game
for
offense.
So we knew they had an offense. We knew the defense was sputtering, some injuries there. You know, a talented quarterback in C.J. Bailey. There was things there that could have went the other way, and in the past have gone the other way. So you got to give credit anytime you line up an in-conference opponent and you pull off a convincing win, there's something to be said about that. So you never want to shortchange that.
I was going to score a little bit more. I ain't think it was going to score like no 30 or nothing.
We was all over him, man.
That's what
we
I'm
was
saying.
All over this guy. Yeah. Man. Like C.J. Bailey didn't stand a chance yesterday, and it wasn't his fault. It's just – or excuse me, not yesterday, but Saturday. He just was constantly under pressure. They were, you know, getting home very easily, honestly, a lot of times before. But then we were also giving them some different looks, blitzing off the edges with, you know, corners and, you know, nickel guy. Like, they just brought different looks to them, too. And the heat was getting to them fast. But before we get into that game, man, one of the hottest timeline subject, I think, is Notre Dame and Miami. With them being ranked higher than us, and we beat them in the head-to-head. What's y'all take on it? Like, to me, it's pretty simple.
And we got better wins than them.
So I'm like, I get it. They're America's team, you know. So they want to push that narrative, but to sit here and try to be like, and again, see, this goes to the ACC thing. Oh, you lost to SMU. Like, SMU just garbage. Like, they just trash. And that's what they want to put. Because they wasn't ranked. Or we lost to an unranked Louisville, who then got ranked right after beating us. You know, these teams, and none of these teams, like, these teams don't have losing records either.
And Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois at home last year.
Last year. Come on. At home.
Yeah.
And got to play for the Natty.
Yeah, both the teams we lost.
Team, but cut the shit.
Both of the teams we lost to are 7-3. If losing to them are bad wins, then I guess football has just changed. That's crazy. Like, they 7-3. That's not bad wins.
Also, right.
and all that goes to the ACC sucks narrative. That's why I hate ACC. Not because I don't think the brand of football played in the ACC is good enough. I think it is. I think it's damn good football. But they want to keep that narrative because – number one, they want to keep paying us less and push in their bigger products, the SEC and the Big Ten. So we have to suffer that being in this conference. So it's like,
and Notre Dame, damn, they're playing an ACC schedule. How many ACC
teams Thank you,
bro. How many ACC teams they play?
They play five or six a year.
Five or six or a year, man. Come on.
So how would they be that much better? Like, where's the logic?
Team we just throttled, they beat by what, 2 weeks ago?
It's a
crazy subject because for one, you know, you're choosing 12 teams, and then you're looking at each team lost, each team's win and stuff like that. Notre Dame don't have an impressive win on their schedule. Everybody they beat, I think they probably only beat one ranked team, and that was Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh coach said, we ain't even finna play this game. So it's like, whatever.
Right. He came in.
So I'm like, why are you?
Oh, they beat USC.
USC wasn't ranked when they beat them.
They got ranked after that later on.
Yeah, USC wasn't ranked when they beat them. USC got ranked later on during the season. So it's they don't have
USC only ranked 16 right now.
No impressive win. Everything they got is was given. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I mean, this big schedule.
Yeah,
the two ranked teams they lost to was two ranked teams.
Yeah, they lost to Texas A&M and they lost to us. They lost to both of the ranked teams that they played.
Right.
So it's like
one on the road, one at home.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess, you know, they rewarding them, like you said, they America's team. I don't know why everybody liked the pedophile school. But America's team, they haven't beaten anybody impressively. I guess what they're on a 7 to 8 game win streak. I don't even know, whatever. But still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they won 8 in a row. And that's fine. I'm not even trying to call their team trash. However, how the hell can head-to-head not matter?
Do you think when the playoff came out, when the playoff rankings came out, that – when we lost those two games, we lost to SMU, we fell to, like, what, like 16? Do you think it's because we fell behind Notre Dame? Or are y'all saying we shouldn't have never fell behind Notre Dame? And then when the playoff rankings come out, that's when it don't matter who's behind who, you put people where they're supposed to be. Because that's really what the playoff rankings for. It ain't to follow the AP or the coaches' poll. It's to
put
these teams where they're supposed to be at.
Which is about
to be wrong? I don't
know. No, I was about to say, man, I don't take – see, I knew the jig was up when I start seeing these teams kind of move in and move ahead of us because there's no way I get it we lost. Like, Notre Dame, after they went 0-2, how are they still ranked, like, top in the top 16? Like, they were still ranked as a top 16 team.
They had went to – they moved to 24. They was almost out. They moved to
24. Yeah, they was at 24. Yeah.
They shouldn't have been ranked at all.
That's what I'm saying. They should have been – so that right there told me, like, they're going to do what they can to keep Notre Dame ranked. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they did. They kept them ranked. You can't tell me why is Utah – still like ranked ahead.
And Vanderbilt ain't beat no ranked team. They beat Missouri, who was ranked.
Yeah, Missouri Vanderbilt ain't beat no ranked team. Like, then if y'all don't realize, like, you see, they just put 4 G5 schools in the top 25. Like, they all holding down like that back end. Because last week, remember, it was only one last week, and that was South Florida. Yeah, it was South Florida. This week, now you got 4. So you trying to tell me 4 G5 schools deserve to be in the top 25? Nah, man. James Madison, I can see it, right? Because James Madison, 9-1, whatever the case may be, they've been cooking, right? But I don't think Tulane, Memphis, none of them, they still shouldn't be ranked. Navy, I mean, yeah, they beat USF, but, like, do you really want to rank Navy? I mean, you can, but I don't think a G5 school this year is deserving really of a playoff spot.
Right. And they're just giving it to them. Like, why in the hell should we be out, Notre Dame in, and you put in Tulane? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And what's the point of G5 to have their own tournament?
Yeah, they show
they're not going to win. I promise you, they're not going to go through a tournament.
They had no shot to beat Penn State last year in that playoff, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to win a tournament. They can win a game. They can win a game. But are they going to run the gambit and win three? No. Not against these Power 5 programs, Power 4 programs. They're not. So why don't they just have their own championship? Just have your own. Because you're not going, you're just wasting a damn spot. And yeah, that could legit happen where Tulane gets in and we're on the outside looking in. And they're going to look themselves in the face and be like, yeah, that was the best way to run
that. They did the right thing.
That's incredible to me. But yeah, you know, it's crazy because I was like, man, I thought we was done dealing with these bums till next year. But you know, the Dame fans, you know, they right back running their mouth like they didn't lose the game. Oh, it was the first game of the year. It was the first game of the year for us, too.
But it makes we started too, freshman. Why even schedule a game like that then? If it don't,
we need it because of the ACC.
They're making it seem like it don't matter. That in the beginning of the season, you play a big game and lose or win. I mean, it don't matter, bro. You got a better shot to lose.
Them people return 15 starters. I don't want to hear nothing about no true freshman or no freshman playing. They return 15 starters.
And Beck didn't get to play in spring.
Right.
He was a new quarterback to us who only got to start playing in fall.
So we bought in a whole new secondary who, and that's crazy. Right. Like we bought in a whole bunch of players who haven't played together. So y'all
exactly
don't give me that old
first game is first game for everybody. Like, everybody, what are we talking about? Like, oh, it was the first. So it was our first game too,
and it was right in front of us.
Like, what are we talking about? And you lost, and they try to sit there and be like, they only lost by three or whatever. Fair enough, that was the final score. However, we controlled the majority of that game, and one of those touchdowns you got was off of busted coverage. Congratulations. You know, it set up a huge play. Was set up a touchdown. No problem.
But did we lead the whole game? Watch that
game. Yeah.
Yeah, we led the whole game.
That's what I'm saying. We really were in control of that whole game. You take out that one play, and we probably beat them by 10 instead of by 3. But nonetheless, we was in control of that entire game the entire damn time. And when they had a chance to put it together to try to come back at the end, you know, to put together a drive, we put that boy on his back against this, you know, vaunted O-line that was supposed to be so shit. And put him to bed for that.
The running back then.
Jeremiah Love got nothing off.
They making all the excuses. Oh, I'm like, we shut Jeremiah Love down. Oh, it's not his fault. The offensive line didn't block. Well, hold on. You know how dumb that sounds, dummy? Really?
They said they had a better O-line than us.
Mm-hmm. Better everything.
Right. Everything. They was ranked higher. Everything was better on their side. So why did you lose? 15, and then after the loss, you're going
to
tell me
15 returning starters. They supposed to, from what we told we was finna get manhandled. We was finna get blown out.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to be close. They going to beat us in our rented stadium. Ain't no Hurricanes going to show up. They told us all this. And then when the game happened,
none of
it was amazed way. That, damn, boy, yeah, Miami beat us.
None of
showed up.
Yeah, I think it'd be a joke if they get in and we don't. It's a possibility. I mean, we still got to handle our business. I'm confident the way this team's playing that we can finish off 10-2. And it just certainly doesn't make any sense that you could beat a team in a head-to-head matchup and then they get the edge over you when – just like you said, Measy, they don't have better wins. They didn't have a tougher schedule. There's nothing to qualify or quantify them being better than us and placed in that position over us, except for the fact that they do great on TV because, you know.
That's the only thing, though, literally.
And that's the truth of it. They're not just saying that. And I could respect that. Like, I could respect you just saying, hey, look, they do better on TV than Miami. That's just what it is. Okay, cool. But don't sit here and try to disqualify head-to-head games. We can't do that. We can never just take a win and not make it a matter in the game of football. It doesn't make sense.
It kind of reminds me of that BCS era. Remember when we beat Florida State that year and we thought we should have went to the championship game and then they were like, well, listen, you lost to Washington. And we don't think that's a good loss. It's a bad loss for you guys. I mean,
And Washington had a good year. Like, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that's why I say I don't get the bad loss, especially if the team is 7-3 or the team 9. Right. How's it a bad loss? Like, what?
In conference. Because they wasn't ranked. That's all, because they didn't have a number next to their name.
If they were ranked
21, then they still would have said it was a bad loss, but it would have been a little bit, you know, less stink on it or whatever.
What if they put Alabama in front of us too, which they might try to do?
That's definitely happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Bama, listen, it's going to be.
And they lost to FSU.
It's going to be 4, 5, or 6 SEC teams in that thing. They are already pushing that agenda to make it 5, 6 SEC. Maybe four Big Ten, and then everybody else. They push an agenda that an ACC team doesn't get in, which is funny.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you what I think, right? I think 3 Big Ten. I think you got Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, right? I think those 3 for sure are getting in from the Big Ten. From the SEC, I think you're going to have Georgia, Texas A&M, because I think they're gonna beat Texas. Well, that's gonna be a game, but they're gonna beat Texas. I think regardless, they're gonna get in. They're gonna beat Texas. That's 2. Mm-hmm. You got Ole Miss.
If A&M lose, they still
get. They undefeated.
Yeah. So you can say Georgia, A&M, Ole Miss. That's 3. Because I think Ole Miss is getting in now, regardless, even if they lose their last game to Mississippi State. I think a 10-2 Ole Miss team, they're gonna put them in. They're not like last year where they was 9-3 and they were scrambling trying to get in. So I think they're gonna put them in.
No, they lose to Mississippi State. They not getting in. They not gonna get in.
I don't know, listen, man.
Hey, Rob. If Texas beat Texas at them, they'll push the agenda to make sure Texas get in.
Texas get in, yeah.
I get it.
They trying to put Texas in. They trying to find a way, even if they lose at A&M.
But I think what's gonna help us is I only think one Big 12 team is going to get in. And I think that Texas one Big 12 team is going to be Texas Tech. Yeah.
That's the other he's talking about, though. That's the other 2. That's one of the other 2.
Yeah. So I think we got a better chance of getting 2 in than they do. It's going to be tough, but I think we can probably squeak in the back door, man. I think we can squeak in the back door and get it. What's going to be the problem for the committee is, once Vandy lose, Utah, one of them BYU lose, or however the case may be, and if we go up enough and we get within 3 of Notre Dame, they're going to have to compare all of us. And then that's when they're going to have to make a business decision and say, hey, because I'm telling you, if they have us and Notre Dame up there and they compare, and then we beat Notre Dame, we have the better wins than Notre Dame. Like, overall, our schedule's better than them, and you still.
But they're not doing that now.
The lady said it. The reason why they didn't compare Miami and Notre Dame last week is because when they're comparing teams, they only compare the ones that's like within like 2 or 3 of each other. We were like 6 within them, right? I think what Notre Dame was what 8. We were what 16 or something like that or whatever.
I heard that, but like that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what a lazy way to look at it. Like, oh, they wasn't on. She said they don't show up on the same page. What are we talking about?
That's and if you intentionally put a team far back enough, they ain't never gonna be on that fucking paper.
Right. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on. Like, that's just lazy and a bullshit excuse. That's it. Bottom line. And this is, again, I repeat myself. This is why I can't stand being the ACC. Because that's the bottom line. Because, look, 2 SEC losses, that's cool. 2 Big Ten losses, that's cool. 2 ACC losses, oh, hell no. How you lose 2 in the ACC? That's the whole narrative. The narrative is it doesn't make sense to lose 2 in the ACC. And we knew that was the plot, too, when they was like, the ACC champ don't get an automatic top seed. It's bullshit. How you a Power Four conference, and you don't get an automatic top 4 seed with winning the conference? That's ridiculous.
That's what they said. That's what they said it was supposed to be, technically, too.
That's exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
That's precisely how it should be. It's the Power 4, not the Power 3. You know, and that's putting the Big 12 over us as well. Which, again, no disrespect to them. I don't think Big 12 football is better than ACC football. I think it's pretty even keel. I give the other two an edge, and that's fine. Even in me giving them an edge, I don't have them in some different strategy. I just say, you got to give them the edge. They play a little better on that side, a little better. A little better talent in those two pools. I give them that.
That ain't.
But it's not to the point where they make it like ACC is basically G5.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they're doing. It's saying, but you can't lose to FMU. Why not? Of course, we didn't want to. We didn't get spanked. We didn't get destroyed. And we was on the road. So why can't you lose that game?
Yeah, it's like you can 15. Lose. It's like if Louisville ranked 15, that 15th ranked Louisville team might not be as good as Kentucky's SEC game. That's bullshit.
Right, exactly.
And Kentucky might have won 5 games that year. Six games.
A lot of wild narratives, man. Just win. Just go out and win. See what they do ultimately. But, that was just a hot item I just want to speak on real quick. But let's look at the game, man. Let's run through this NC State game. I thought just, general thoughts, and then I'll do like I did last show. We'll do kind of like a quick run through on the play-by-play, kind of the streamlined version, just to keep it moving pretty well. As I said, when the show started, just dominant, just took care of business from the giddy-up. I thought the offense started a lot faster than it has. It still sputtered a little bit, but not to the point where it just felt like, all right, what are we doing again? There's a difference there with Pringle. Pringle team tends to be – it's a different look, man. It's going to be very interesting when we do get Mark Fletcher back. I don't know how you do it.
Shouts out to the seniors, man.
For sure. Shout out senior night. Yeah. Shout out seniors and the first rounders. Mount Noah and Bain.
Listen, I'm like, Bain walking out, Francis walking out. Oh, yeah, them boys already said they go.
Oh, we already know the business. Hey, you talking about top 10 pick and probably, a top 25 pick. Like,
I was about to say, I'm definitely top 10.
Hell, Mezzador catching a lot of damn buzz.
Yeah, they say he's the number 2 D.
Kiper got him number 2 on his board, yeah.
Yeah.
So, hell, he may end up going first round as well. So, we'll see. He may slip a little bit because he's a little bit older and has some injury issues, but I don't think he goes deeper than the second round.
You know what? I don't even think that age. I don't even think they even care about that age thing. They're like, man, I need for you to play now. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Yeah. I don't think they really too. I think it got to be like a special type of guy that's like a 3-year guy and gone where they say, no, we have to, like, no question, we don't care. You know what I'm saying? We got it. But I think now if you 23 and you doing what you're doing and you balling out of control and all that, I don't even think they even care no more, man. Cause look at Jackson Dart. Like, Jackson Dart literally was, I think he was a 5th-year senior. I think he was at USC 2 years, and then he was at Ole Miss 2 years.
Yeah, that portal changed a lot.
The position matters too. Quarterback is definitely valued to be older these days. They want to see more reps. They want to see that you know how to control the game. It's that's why the talks of Lenore Sellers definitely coming back. Levitt is already saying he's going into the portal. Cam Ward came back for one more year, went number one. That quarterback, you want to play 5 years of football with some significant snaps under your belt.
And that money they're getting this year is more money than they'll be getting if they was drafted third round.
Exactly. And so everybody's kind of wising up on what it means, especially at the quarterback position, to hang around a little bit longer. It doesn't make a lot of sense to get up out of there fast for what? Like, what are you really going to gain from it? You're going to slip a few rounds because they're not quite sure on you. That's why I was shocked that Quinn Ewers decided to just go to the draft. He killed himself with that. He should have transferred, even if it wasn't to Miami. Like, he just should have played one more year of college. He would have made more money, number one. If Quinn Ewers transfers and goes to wherever, it don't even matter. He's making $3-4 million.
I don't know if he's going to be able to make any more money than he already made. That man was – he got paid in college, man.
He got paid one more year.
He probably felt he made so much damn money in college. He might be one of the highest paid ever with NIL. So
he got paid like he was in the NFL already. So
then where'd he go? Sixth round?
I think he went seventh round. I think.
Yeah, right. He's not going to be in the league.
To the Dolphins.
You play one, so with no guaranteed money. You play one more year somewhere, man. They give you $3 million. He could have made $3 million to play one more year of football.
That's true.
Might have improved his stock. It just didn't make sense to me. But back to the game. We'll run through it. We kicked off to those guys first. Quick four plays, 20 yards. They held the ball for about 2 minutes, 10 seconds, and they ended up having to punt to us. Bailey was able to complete like his first pass. For 16, little penalty, some incompletions. You know, they sputtered right out the gate. I did like, you know, some of what I saw with like his throwing motion. He throws on a tight line when he actually releases the ball. And he's a taller player, too. So
he jumps a lot when he throws, too, though.
What you say? Oh, jump?
Yeah, like when he
like physically ball, jumps?
Yeah. You know how like a quarterback, some quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I didn't notice that. That's a good observation.
He jumped on the pick. He threw the Thomas, I believe, the pick six, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he threw two to him, so I don't know which one. Yeah.
Nah, he ain't jump on that play. On that play, he stood tall and threw it. And remember, he was kind of, listen, the D line was on him, so. He had to get out the pocket a little bit. That's the one thing I wanted to say, too. The D-line was making him so uncomfortable that he wasn't doing things normally.
For sure.
Now you got to roll out and try to – that's not easy. You know what I'm saying? People thinking it's easy, but it's not. So.
No, yeah, all credit to the defense. Just making him uncomfortable all game. They end up punting off of their first possession. Our first possession, 11 plays, 77 yards. We ended up taking a field goal on that particular possession. You know, first play went to Pringle for 19 yards. He's proven himself to just be a weapon. Next one was a 4-yard run to him. Pass to Marion for 5, 6-yard run from Shamar Brown. Then an incompletion, 4-yard run from Pringle. A 35-yard pass, deep shot over to Keelan Marion on just basically, I believe it was just a go route. He just stretched the field on him, caught that one, got tackled. Next play, 4-yard run from Pringle. Ended up taking a sack after that. Another 7-yard pass to Ballman to kind of set us back up in better field goal position. And we end up taking a field goal. But the positive I think you could take from that was even if we had to take a field goal on that first possession, we moved the ball 77 yards. So it wasn't, you know, like remember last week I was running it down like punt, 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 punt. There was just no rhythm being established at all. And quite honestly, I think we probably could end up getting 7 on that one, but it made the smart move because the way the defense was playing and what you saw from the offense, they decided to go ahead and just take the 3 there. I think at that point, they're fairly confident about like how we look early on. Next possession for NC State, and they end up negative one yard, three and out, just unable to get anything really going. Again, credit defense, man. They just had them all kinds of uncomfortable.
Bro, they was flying the fuck around Saturday. We say that every week, but they wanted blood this week, looked like.
It looked better.
That shit was easy to them.
I agree. It really looked better, and it did look easy. It looked like they was having their way. Next possession, they end up punting us. Next possession for us. This is the one. This is our – I think they said it was the – Yeah, it was the first fumble we lost this year. So we had an 8-yard run from Pringle, an incomplete to Tony. That's where Tony was kind of fading off the like a post route. and Carson had a little pressure on him. He tried to hang it out there a little bit, put it a little too far out in front of Tony, and it ended up being incomplete. Next play, 7-yard pass to Keelan Marion, who had an amazing day, by the way. Keelan Marion, I believe, had just over 100. I have to double-check that with the stats, but I know at one point he was 7 for 7 on targets and receptions. So a great day for him. So you had the run, the completion to Marion, and then where did I go here? Oh, okay, yeah. Then a 3-yard run by Malachi Toney on like a little reverse handoff. Next play, we threw it to Beck, and that was your fumble right there. Beck threw it to Shamar Moore. Brown. Why the hell I say Shamar Moore? Jesus. Shamar Brown. Oh, man. And great shot on the defensive player, man. He just kind of hit it perfectly and punched the ball out. And that was our first lost fumble of the year. I think we had 3 previous to that. We recovered all 3. Next possession, they ran 1 for negative yards with Hollywood Smothers. Then that was the pick 6. Shout out to Jacoby Thomas. Man, what a year he's been having. Guy went crazy. He had a hell of a game himself, man. I don't know if anybody had a better game than Jacoby Thomas.
Yeah, he had 2 picks, right?
Yeah, and then he flicked on
2 picks. He had the sack.
Pick 6. Pick 6. He flicked off CJ Bailey.
No, he didn't flick him off. He pointed at him like he told him to come here.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Nah, he told him to come here.
Oh, okay. I thought he flicked him off, so he dropped the shoulder.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, pick 6. Put us up at that point, 10-0. Next play. For those guys, or next possession for those guys. So after the pick 6, obviously we kick it back off. The negative 1-yard run, 14-yard pass, 5-yard pass, 7-yard pass, incomplete. And then once again, interception to Jacoby Thomas. You know, Moten got some pressure on him on that play. He got him to kind of hurry it up. And he threw it. It looked like we were in a cover 3. He throws it. And I don't know if he can completely see Jacoby Thomas. It don't seem like he did based on where he threw that ball. And Jacoby Thomas just, you know, made a nice play as far as jumping to grab it. But it was right there in his vicinity. And he plucked that one off. Next play, 3-and-out from us. Just a 3-yard run, 5-yard run, and an incomplete. Ended up punting off of that one. Let's see. Is this right? They got the wrong score on there. Okay, yeah, yeah. They got the wrong thing on there. NC State, after that, again, defense lights out, man. Another 3-and-out. Like, I just didn't think NC State could get anything going. You know, credit to, you know, I thought Methodore had an amazing game. I thought he just kept the pressure up, wade through a lot of trash. Armando Blunt, I noticed when I was watching the replay as well. Especially when he kicked inside. That's why I was kind of saying in chat, I was like, why not focus? Because he's a big body kid already as it is. I think his best future will probably be kicking inside. That's just my opinion, though. I don't know if he's just dead set on playing in. Maybe. But he was definitely creating some pressure out the middle. They ended up punting that one off to us. Then we had quick drive, 3 plays, 48 yards for about a minute and a half. Started off with a 44-yard pass to JoJo Trader. Shout out to Dawson. He saw the name change. He heard he saw D-Rob tweets. You know, it's been, you know, he hearing the noise. And he calling some tricky shit out the gun. So
yeah,
a 44-yard pass. A little trick play from Malachi Toney to JoJo Trader. He almost was able to break the plane. He made a play, made a little move, got tackled, and ended up just a little shy, about 4 yards shy, I want to say, of the end zone. Next play, Shamar Brown ran for 3 yards, just shy of the goal. And then next play, he was able to punch it in. That put us up 17-0 at that point. Another three and out for the defense. Just nothing going their way. Three play, 2 yards. Kicked the ball right back to us. We had another quick turnaround possession then. Just four plays, 24 yards. Punted it off to them. They had the next possession, six plays, 19 yards for about 3 minutes. They ended up punting on that one as well. And then we were able to go ahead and make it a four-score game off of a couple of runs from Marty Brown. He started off that series, ran three times in a row for 7, 8, and 5 yards. 18-yard pass to Keelan Marion. You know, a little incomplete there. He had another short pass to Marion, but it was like a tunnel screen. Got covered up pretty fast. Nothing, no gain on that one. Then 11-yard pass to Keelan Marion. And then, let's see, a little 3-yard run and a 14-yard pass, which was to Malachi Tony for the touchdown. And that was it. Pretty much takes us to the half. I mean, at this point, the game's pretty much over. There's nothing really to worry about at this point. We're up 24-0. They got nothing moving. They got no motion. There's nothing to worry about. And I think, you know, I put in the group chat at the time, like, what a time, man. Like, first time in a while. What y'all felt like just going into the half going, we won? What was that feeling like?
I was hoping Dawson don't stop scoring the ball. I'm like, man, keep going.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to see how we ended the game. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, man.
I was like, yeah, boy, just keep your foot on their neck. Don't let up. Like, don't let up. And we didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't, like I said, and it was another clean game where I don't think there were no pre-snap penalties again. I think our penalties came on, like, what, special teams, I think. And what else? Maybe something on defense, I think. I don't really remember.
Well, it didn't stand out, and that was the key.
Yeah.
None of it happened.
Yeah, it didn't affect, like, a big play. It wasn't like, oh, big play down the middle, touchdown. Oh, there's a flag on the play. Holding. It wasn't nothing like that. So,
yeah, man.
I was very happy with everything. And like I said, just keep it going, man. Just keep it going. Don't change what you're doing. If Pringle has to get those touches for whatever reason, give them to him. He deserves them. He's showing you when he hit that. And now it's kind of taking me back because they haven't really changed nothing on offensively as far as you see a few different running schemes that they do, but it's just hit that hole and get up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nobody outside of Pringle really has done that. I mean, like I said, somebody's going to lose some touches. Yeah, granted, Fletcher is a good chance. Fletcher coming back, he's going to get his. We know Marty Brown was going to get his. It seemed like Lau might be the odd man out. It all depends on if they say, I'm going to go with the younger guy, or they're going to say, you know what, we're going to stick with Brown and Fletcher going into Virginia Tech playing in that environment, because I know it's gonna be a little while. It might not be as bad because it's gonna be a 12 o'clock game, and I'm kind of happy about that. You know what I'm saying? Because usually when we go to Blacksburg, it's 7:30,
the night game, yeah.
12 degrees, everything going. You know what I'm saying? So it's 12 o'clock. You know, I'm good with that.
I was looking like, damn, I hope this ain't no Friday night game, man. You know,
right?
Nope.
Been a trial is like that.
Yeah. So no Friday night game. No, nothing. So,
but Rob, about what you said about Pringle, ain't no coincidence though. Like, the running game looked better with him. That's not a coincidence at all.
Yeah, he hit that hole, man. He get up there. He let that hole develop. Yeah, and he go do what he got to do. The other running backs, like Fletcher, get it. He got one movement. He going straight forward. Granted, yes, he running people over. He doing that. He looking for contact, but that's what he doing. Marty Brown.
I just brought Pringle Fletcher shit.
I mean, Marty, I can't describe, man, Marty Brown do the dirty work, man.
Oh, yeah, like, play, but he, yeah. Like, okay, if I had to cut it up and we doing, I don't know, 40
Marty
runs,
gonna have 5 carries a game for me, 5 to 7.
Right, yeah, 5 to 6. And then I'm probably gonna give those other two guys, you know, 15 apiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna, well, we it's gonna be a conversation at the end of the year, but we'll talk about it towards the end.
So yeah, if I cut it up, I'm probably giving Pringle and let's call it 40 runs that game, which would be a little bit high, but let's just say that's how I go. I'm giving 17 apiece and then 6 to Marty. You know, maybe bite into a couple of I would bite into Fletcher's run, to be honest with you, just because of the explosive nature, and maybe give him 8. But yeah, I don't think you run away from it now. So right after the half, we get the ball back again. We kicked off of them first. We go down again and score. 2-yard run, Pringle, 12-yard pass to Tony. We end up catching a penalty there. I think that was holding on Markel Bell.
I'm just checking on things.
Right after that, 4-yard run. Then a 20-yard pass down to Akeelan Marion. Put us in a 2nd and 16. But we were able – wait, is that right? No, that was wrong. They got that information right on that wrong. Anyways, after that, run from Pringle. Another 13-yard pass to Pringle. And that's the thing. Like, him in the passing game as well is just a little more dangerous. Once you get the ball into his hand, his shiftiness after the catch is just a little more dangerous than the other options we've been using. 12-yard rush from Marty Brown. And then we was able to hit the 29-yard deep shot to Elijah Lofton for the touchdown. Put us up 31-0 at that point. Defense held those guys to 3 and out. We take the next series, 10 plays, 67 yards, able to get 3 at the end of that one, put us up 34-0. And then 6 plays, 7 yards for those guys, punt it right back to us. Game was over at half, but by the time you get to the fourth quarter, you're really talking about absolutely nothing left for these guys. It's just nothing they could do here. Fourth quarter, 8-play, 88-yard drive that ends in a touchdown. Started with 3-yard run by Pringle. 8-yard little scramble by Beck. A 2-yard pass over to Tony. I think that was like a little – I believe that was another little tunnel screen. Then another 32-yard pass down to Josh Moore. Is he all right? Anybody heard anything on Moore?
Yeah, I think he fell, you know, lost his air. You know, probably got some bruised lungs or something like ribs. Was or something hip or like something. That.
Yeah, ribs. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he should be all right. You know, he practicing today, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was just a little worried. I know he hit the ground a little hard on that one. Then a 15-yard run from Pringle, 11-yard pass to Tony, 2-yard run again there from Pringle, and then a 15-yard pass to Malachi Tony to put us up 41-0. Another 3 and out for them, -6 yards. We had another series, 6 plays, 29 yards. We actually missed a field goal there. Shouldn't have been missed. He just ended up missing it. It was only a 42-yarder. I think he ended up pushing it a little bit left and ended up missing that field goal. Those guys got him a garbage time touchdown, but it was a good little drive, 10 plays for 75 yards. At this point, we're already went to our backups, getting those guys some real time play. They were still playing their starters, and they ended up CJ Bailey ran one in from about, 10 yards out, and basically at end of the game. We had one more little drive for 6 plays, 48 yards. and game ended 41-7. So, this is what we've been asking for. So you got basically what you was asked for: dominant performance from beginning to end. Defense really showed up, made plays. Jacoby Thomas, probably my player of the game. Yeah, player of the game, Jacoby Thomas. Just made plays, took the ball away, scored a six. Just a guy that, you know, was real high on my list this year. I had him up there for defensive MVP right behind, or team MVP, excuse me. Ended up swapping him for Keyonte Scott. Still think he's super important. You know, I don't know if we're going to get him back this year or not. I know he's walking around in the boots. So
nah, he's done for the year.
He's gone.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate. I hate it, man. He's up for the Thorpe Award, Jim Thorpe Award.
What was his injury with the foot?
Yeah, it's a foot injury.
Mario don't tell us what's wrong with it. Hey, you'd be like, what difference, man? Just tell us what the hell wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
But it happened.
Especially if he ain't going to play.
It actually happened against the, I think, Syracuse.
Yeah,
it was in the game.
Yeah, I think it happened. Yeah, it happened during the game.
Okay.
And
I wasn't sure if it was during the game or if it was
after. He was walking around in the boot, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you hate to see that. I think, you know, MVP of the team, guys were doing everything, but guys stepped up. Bryce Fitzgerald played a lot more. He had a great day out there, moving around well, didn't look out of place. And I mean, you could just see from all the three and outs we had, this defense just played lights out. And the offense got clicking through, you know, just the running game being more explosive with Pringle and, you know, a couple of little wrinkles, a few little personnel things. You know, CJ Daniels was still down. So we went to Marion more. I thought Marion showed up nice. They did, a lot of work to try to take Tony out of the game. Credit to them, but then credit to Tony, you know, for throwing the football just to make sure he got in the game some kind of way. He had another touchdown he missed. Ended up sailing it. It was wide open too, man. Who was he throwing that to? Was that Lofton on that play?
Yeah. That was Lofton. Was it? Yeah.
I think it was Lofton. Yeah.
No. It was a running back. It was a running back.
Shamar Brown?
I think it was a running back. It was either 9 or 6.
Yeah, I can't quite remember exactly who it was on that play, but he had it, man. He ended up just, it was too good to be true, and he ended up sailing
it. It was a running back.
Okay.
As soon as Tony got it, matter of fact, it was Pringle, I think. I think it was Pringle. As soon as he got it, the D-line kind of got in, and Tony had just threw it. He threw it up in the air, hoping that the runner would run under it and catch it. But, you know, he threw it a lot earlier than he expected. So,
hey, y'all want to know what the most impressive thing about that is? Dawson came and said that even when Malachi got it, like, JoJo wasn't the first read. So, you know, a lot of people's when they get their little halfback pass, as soon as they get it, boy, they ready to just throw it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they not – he said that JoJo wasn't the first read. The first read was – he said it, whatever, but he said JoJo wasn't the first read. So, it just – Malachi, his quarterback instinct kicked in, man, and he just knew to go to the open guy. I just don't want them to get too predictable with it. Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see that every game. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously they'll get hooked on – they'll – get hip to it. I don't want to get repetitive. Like, you don't need it right now. Don't even we play Virginia Tech, don't even show that. You know what I'm saying? You play that, well, don't even show that.
See, the whole thing about it is this is what we wanted. So I want to see it. I don't care. I want to see it. Open up the playbook, Dawson.
Yeah, I don't care either.
Keep them guessing.
Because you can't know it's a pass from Tony because he'll take the reverse too. Right. So you don't. You ain't gonna know.
He'll run the ball. So
right. You still not gonna know what he's doing just because we give it to him on some sort of reverse. That's how it works. You still have. You don't know the play, and that's why I think we overthink it a lot of times by thinking, oh, don't show this, don't show that. Nah, show different plays out of the same look, so that it's like, oh, what is this play? I know they might want to do this on this play or not. And because that's the worst case scenario. If he didn't like it, he just tucks it and runs it anyway. But he saw, you know, like say, Trader was his second read. So he saw first read, didn't like it. Oh, they go Trader on the second read. If he didn't like Trader there, I think he runs it. And possibly runs it for, you know, a good game. So
gotcha.
I don't really get too – I think that's one of the things that's like – it's kind of old school traditional where we just go – only time I don't want to see no trick plays is against, like when we playing Bethune, the fan.
Yeah.
I don't see none of that shit then. But if it's an ACC play, man, pull out whatever you want to do. Keep them on their toes. Keep them on their toes. Keep them guessing. But yeah, just front to back, kick ass game. Really nothing to say except. Congratulations on both sides of the football. I thought everybody played phenomenal football against a lesser opponent. That's all we asked for. We just go out there on a team like this and just go and make it easy, man. I want to be able to go into some games and go at halftime. All right, this game over. And I think that's fair enough to ask as a fan that so there are certain games where you should be able to just kind of mash out and take the game over. So that be that. We got Virginia Tech coming this week. We'll finish up the season on the road. We got to get two in a row to even be in that argument that, you know, we want to be in. You know, the assumption is we win those two, which is why a lot of the talk is going on right now about what happens if Miami's 10-2 and Notre Dame is 10-2 based on our current rankings. But first things first is to take care of business against Virginia Tech. So look at Virginia Tech a little bit, man, and see what threats they present. This is a pretty bad team, too.
Right? It's a terrible team. What are they, 3-7? I should be 3-7.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. They hired James Franklin.
Yeah, that was a good hire for them.
Hell yeah, great hire.
Yeah, that's a terrible hire. Team. They let Florida State beat them, so that's a terrible team. Horrible team.
Florida State blew them out too, for real.
Yeah. So my thing is, right, and this is me, the pessimistic side, right? I get it. Yes, they're a terrible team. I'll take two things in consideration that I don't want to sleep on them. One, you just hired James Franklin, right? James Franklin's probably going to be in there. Hey, y'all got a big game this week. People are auditioning for their spot on the team next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, because James Franklin, he's going to come. Obviously, you know he's going to come. He's going to clear house and change.
Yeah, team trend, be, bro.
I hear you. I keep telling you, I hear you. But, again, it's still somewhat of a rivalry against Virginia Tech, and we're going into Blacksburg. And they can actually try to play spoiler. Hey, we ain't going nowhere. Miami got high hopes. Hey, man, let's do our thing. Because we could say, you know, we could last year we said that they was trash when we played them. And what happened? We was in a dog fight with them boys. We was in a dog fight with them boys. So I don't want to take them for granted. I don't want to take them for granted. I still want us to come out, handle business, do what they, you know what I'm saying, do what we're supposed to do. But I think they're going to get up to play us as mostly everybody else does. And like I said, Franklin going to be in, he going to be in the skybox. He going to be looking over, seeing how everything work out because he can't be on the sideline yet. And yeah, people going to be auditioning for him. That's how things going to play out.
Man, listen, Franklin ain't walking on it. Well, he's probably on campus now, but he don't care about that team this year. They, maybe 75% of that team ain't gonna be there next year.
Yeah, that's gonna look brand new.
So I'm not buying they getting hyped to beat Miami, man. They gonna want to play against Miami and we got a chance to knock them off this and this and that. But yeah, I'm not buying the James Franklin stuff. James Franklin. Like again, I don't think 75% of that team gonna be there next year. So. I do know he gonna get that team right though. He gonna get that team right, but it ain't gonna be this year. It ain't gonna be next year. You know what I'm saying? It's probably ain't gonna be the following year, but he gonna get it right.
What y'all want to see from that game? Or basically, you just want to see the same, because it should be the same dominance as last.
I mean, yeah,
game.
go out, dominate.
Virginia Tech worse than them.
Listen, dominate from kickoff to end of the game. Show the defense dominance. Offense, go out there and put some points on the board. Show the committee and the rest of the world that we can score points. You know what I'm saying? So just go out there and do it again. You're getting a bunch of freshmen to play. That was good.
When we get CJ Daniels back, y'all heard anything?
CJ Daniels is actually ready to play Saturday, but Mario left him out.
Kind of to my point. Yeah. Where if you needed him, they'd have played him.
Yeah, so we should be down there full strength besides Keontae Scott. I don't know about the Fletcher thing. I don't know if y'all had mentioned that earlier. But
like I said, we'll see.
Offensively, man, we should be pretty full damn strength. Who's your favorite player from Saturday?
This past week?
Yeah, favorite player too.
Jacoby Thomas. Jacoby. Think he took care of business.
You said I gotta pick somebody different now. I'll go Pringle.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I'll go Pringle, man.
I gotta go with somebody different. Well, shit, I'll give Beck his props for Saturday, man. Beck played a clean game. He played a clean game for what we want. I can't wait.
That's all we can say now. Play clean, dummy.
Yeah.
Except for taking that dumbass sack.
Throw the ball out the back of the damn end zone, man. Yeah, that was dumb because he looked like he wasn't even going to run with the ball. I was like, bro, what we doing right now? No. That's like a freshman. That was a freshman sack he took.
You're right. It's silly. I was like, just throw the damn ball. Put it out the back of the end zone. Let's go to the next play. Instead, you're paying somebody stats.
I'm going to go back just playing a clean game.
But, you got one X?
What we doing? Offense and defense?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So defensively, I mean, Jacoby Thomas. I got to give it to I guess I'm going to say Mezidor.
Mezidor had a great game.
Mezidor defense. Mezidor and Xavier Lucas. Because Xavier Lucas was he was locking that thing down Saturday.
Hey, that's another game where I know I asked at the beginning of the season. I'm like, Xavier Lucas even fucking playing, bro?
Him and Damari Brown.
Damari Brown. There,
you don't even know. You like, man.
I just got to say, Damari Brown got to get that too.
Man, yeah, my dog, boy. Damari, right boy. Now, bro. That he boy is right locking.
He's bullying them boys.
Hey, he locking everything down.
He's locking it down. So offensively, I mean, I guess somebody said Pringle already?
Yeah, I said Pringle.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Malachi then. Malachi was probably our best quarterback.
Utility line. my lady said, why they just let him play quarterback?
Hey, it's funny because I don't know if y'all remember when I tweeted out when I was like, man, when I was leaving the Louisville game and I was talking to the recruits, and the recruits was like, man, they should just let Malachi play quarterback. I tweeted that out, and people thought I was joking. I was like, listen, these are what the recruits really said. They were like, man, Malachi, they should just let Malachi play quarterback. Just
let him play QB, right?
And then look at it. The last two games, look at Malachi throwing touchdowns.
Who's the dude from Michigan? Shoe string. He's playing without the shoe string.
Oh, Darnell Robinson. Darnell
Robinson.
Yep, Darnell Robinson.
Part two. That's what's up. Real quick, my bad. I got disconnected for a second there. I don't know what we talked about of our tech, but we'll go over a couple of little offensive and defensive leaders. Again, it's a bad team. It's really not a lot to I like there. Cameron Jones can be dangerous because he's we played him last year. He's a guy that can scramble out. He definitely can, use his legs. Right now he's at 17 yards, which is pretty paltry. But he got 16 touchdowns. you know, again, dangerous just because of his ability to run the ball as well. He's got a pretty decent arm on him as too, but I don't know if the weapons are around him to really be very dangerous. They got a running back, Marcellus Hawkins. He lead the team with 677 yards, averaging about 6.2 a carry. So a guy who, you know, has some explosion there. Aiden Green is their top returning wide receiver. But he's on, you know, he's leading the team right now. He's got 421. So this passing game ain't really very dangerous. I think it could look a lot like this week. Just don't think they can get a lot off through the air. And I think that C.J. Bell is a better quarterback, but they'll be suffering just from lack of talent on the outside. And I believe on the O-line, just don't think they'll be able to stand up very well. Then the second running back is Tarian Stewart. He's got 438 on the year. So you'll probably see a little back and forth with those guys. But it's just an offense that just ain't – it's just not getting it done. It's just not enough. They 3-7. Like, it's not a lot to like about this football team. Then you look defensively, guy that used to play for us, Caleb Spencer. He leading the team right now with 54 tackles. I think they moved him down to linebacker. He's playing safety, and that was kind of the deal.
Yeah, they moved him to linebacker last year.
Last year, okay. I thought he was still playing safety when we played him.
Not when we played him, they moved him. They had him in linebacker.
Okay.
Well, he was he was playing safety. And then they
I thought he picked one off from the safety spot.
Yeah.
He's leading the team with tackles. Solid player, guy we like. I think his problem was he was that tweener between safety and linebacker that kind of threw him in a bit of a flux, kind of like we got with Bobby Pruitt right now. But, you know, he's probably the best defensive player, to be honest with you. Quentin Reddish, safety number zero. You know, he's pretty decent on the back end. It's not a lot great to talk about. Isaiah Brown Murray, probably the best corner. And then Keyshawn Burgos, probably their best defensive lineman. He's a senior.
That's a horrible team, bro.
Yeah, it's a bad team. It's a bad team. It's just, there's nothing really to fear here. This should be another game where we just go in and dominate and get out of there with a W and just. You know, you can't look past your opponent, obviously. But, and again, I want to give respect to conference play, but every conference, there's some teams that just ain't it.
Yeah.
This year, Virginia Tech just ain't it.
And it's way easier to play in Virginia Tech at 12 o'clock than it is at a night game. So,
you don't want to be in there. I've been there before.
Yeah, I remember
the end of the Sandman. It's dark outside. It ain't allowed lit in there, man. I want to jump up and down with them and jingle the keys and shit. I was like, I can't do it, though. But, yeah, I mean, it's just not a team to fear right now. You know, they got rid of their coach, like we said. We're speaking of getting James Franklin. So what you got now is a team that's pretty much, I would think, kind of done cashed it in for the year. They already looking to the portal. Like, all right, do I even fit what the new coach going to do? Is he going to want me here? His team sucks. So I think it's a team that's kind of done for the year anyway. So we should be able to go up there, take advantage of that. And just get another easy W, not under the belt. I think we win this game similar to this week, something to the tune of 48-7, something like that. I think another dominant win where we just kind of put them boys to bed. What you got, Measy?
I got like a 41-10. 38-10, 41-10, something like that.
No doubt.
It's going to look the same way as last week.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll look any better because at least with NC State, they did have an offense. We just neutralized it.
Right.
And I just don't see them having that weapon against us. The best thing they got going is they're at home. But again, it's an early game too, so that won't necessarily play against. What you got, D-Rock?
Well, I was I was looking up their team stats, like as far as like where they fit as far as in the league, as far as points per game and all that type of stuff, right? And looking at it, and yeah, man, like offensively, they're like towards the bottom. They're just better than UNC, Stanford, and Cal, which is Cal is kind of surprisingly. They average what, 359 yards a game, 171 through the air, and 187 on the ground. But we know what we do offense. We know what we do against run defenses. I mean, rush offenses. This won't be the best rush offense we've played all year because Notre Dame has a great rush offense. And we shut them down. So I know, not worried about Virginia Tech's run game. Defensively, they are just above SMU. But again, they allowed 218 passing yards, 160 rushing yards. So I think we'll be able to do what we can do. But and they also allow 30 points a game. So that's they allow 30 points a game. That's right there on par with NC State and Syracuse. They both allow 30 points a game. And Stanford, they allow 30 points a game. So I think that we're going to be able to do what we do. I think, like, again, I think they're going to come out inspired, ready to rah, 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 let's go. And I think, it's just
going to be out early.
Then I think we're going to – they're going to swag surf, you know what I'm saying, kick off, and then we just going to take over. I think that it's going to be like – I say 38-13. I think that they will – I think they'll score one early, a touchdown early, and then they'll get their other 6 points off field goals like later on. I don't think
it's going no 13 fucking points.
I think – the reason why I say that is because of – the fourth quarter, it seems like – We've seen it the last two games. What's happened? Get in, mother get a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. And it's like, dang. So, man, I got it. 38-13, but I can see it also being like 45-13. I don't think they're scoring more than 13 points.
This team lost the Old Dominion. Old Dominion.
I was just sitting here looking at the fucking
schedule. It has now become a rivalry game between Old Dominion and Virginia Tech.
Bro, you said that you said that like 2 years ago, though.
It's a rivalry game.
And the boys will beat them again.
Boy, beat them two out of the last 3 years. How crazy is that?
That's crazy as shit, bro.
They beat NC State 23-21.
This shit happens. But yeah, lost to Wake Forest 30-23. Georgia Tech beat them 35-20. I don't think they faced anything like us. Vanderbilt beat them 44-20 pretty early in the season.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't think their other opponents really present what we present. And they didn't come out of those games victorious anyway. So, like X said, they lost to Florida State by 20, so they bad. They're horrible. They didn't finish kicking their ass, man, and keep this thing rolling. X, you got a score for us? We get out of here.
Man, 45-0, man. Skunk them boys.
Zero.
They lost to Florida State, man. I feel disappointed your boys get on the scoreboard on us.
Who let you in? How you get in the club?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no doubt. We did get a flip right as the show started. Kind of expected. We talked about on the previous show. But Colorado commit Gavin Mueller. 6'5", 255, four-star tight end from Illinois flipped to Miami pretty much as soon as we got to recording. So another addition to the class, second tight end we were looking to get in this cycle. A late riser.
Do you believe?
I believe your ass don't do shit. That hey, what I
hey, hey, what song they played when they flipped Cormani? Then they played Lil Flip. Then they played that Lil Flip song.
Game over. Yeah, and then he flipped out on their ass too.
The fact.
Where he at now? What a headache. I called that one long time ago. I was like, yeah, just let Cuz go.
Yeah, you said
he finally seemed right. Like he got it together now.
Yeah, it was a show for real though.
Man. Shout out to what's my man named? Drake Stubbs, man. Going wild on the timeline. he telling now. They don't let us play.
He fed up.
Well, you could have maybe played with us this year, but we already got one now. So appreciate you. Have fun. Poise will be back. we got Fish.
Boy went for the okie doke.
Yeah. He went for the old. Hey, they paid him. He ain't go crazy. They paid him good money to go there. So I ain't mad at him. Get that money on, man. Transfer portal be open soon. Might want to do some looking around. I don't know if Lane coming or not. We shall see. LSU job is way better than me, but hey, whatever. All right. With that, we'll get up out of here. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We out. Peace.
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 We gonna let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.